All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, back for more this week, and we've got a lot planned on the show today. First things first, I want to thank all of you guys. Last week's show, one of the most listened to or downloaded or whatever you call it with a podcast, but one of the most popular yet. Now, the Joes, they're great guys. They're always giving me encouragement. They're always patting me on the back, picking me up. And every once in a while, you know, when a particularly, again, downloaded show or listened to show comes through, they'll say, hey, man, you had so-and-so number of hits this week. Great job, blah, blah. But this one, and they did it again, as always. The Joes are very good to me and always make me feel very special. This one, I can't take full credit for, obviously. There were some circumstances last Thursday that took place right before my show went up on the site, namely Jason Pierre-Paul being signed by the Bucks. That news came down. It was actually after I recorded my show on Wednesday night, which is when I usually record, but it came out before my show aired on Thursday. So what I did was I recorded an extra little addendum because I didn't want to have my show go out there and say nothing about one of the biggest free agent moves the Bucks have made in some time. So I recorded a little extra thing and put it on the beginning of the show. But the point is, a lot of people, I'm sure, heard the Jason Pierre-Paul news, headed straight for Joe Bucks Fan, which is what you should do, because that's where you're going to get the best news, that's where you're going to get the best insight, that's where you're going to get the quickest info, the most accurate info, and the most comprehensive info. So y'all did the right thing. And what's sitting there at the top of the page when all that stuff went down? Well, hey, this week's Free Stretch just happens to be the most recent thing posted. So I'm sure I got a lot of love from that. That had nothing to do with me, but it doesn't matter. The point is, we're building something here, and we're having fun doing it, and we're going to keep doing it all through the offseason until we get to the 2018 edition of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But for now, I want to talk about, on the show today, the 2018 edition of the National Football League as a whole. We're going to talk about some of the rules changes today, because this is the time of year, you know, the competition committee gets together, they have owners meetings, they're going to have more owners meetings in May, they've decided some things, they've tabled some things until May that are still possible, and others they have scrapped altogether. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit, namely, I mean, there's a few different rule changes, but the one everyone's talking about today is the one about lowering your head to make a hit with your head and how that's now going to be a personal foul, kind of akin to the targeting rule. Not exactly like the targeting rule in college football, but kind of akin to that. And people are freaking out. They're worried there's going to be inconsistency. They're worried there's going to be ambiguity. They're worried there's going to be choppiness to the games because of so many penalties, because every single down you see somebody lowering their head to make a hit. And I want to talk about that today because I see both sides of it. I like the idea of them continuing to try to take the head out of football. I think this is the part that people get stuck on. Actually, we'll just get into it right now. First things first, let me tell you this. You want to get a hold of me, here's how you do it. Email bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's been my email since college at the University of Florida. You can email me. It'll come right to my inbox. I'll respond, always. So it's BobbyGameday, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Hit me up on Twitter, @BobbyGameday. Now, let's go ahead and go into this helmet rule thing, first of all. There's a few I want to talk about. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the new catch stuff. I want to talk about pass interference not being changed, for the love of God. Even though it's the worst rule in sports, it's going to remain a spot foul. But this lowering the helmet thing, so what they've said, basically, and again, there's wording and lots of things that basically a player, and it's not just defensive players, it's anybody, you can't lower your head and plow into somebody head first anymore. Not just helmet to helmet, like, you know, you hit somebody else's helmet, that's a penalty already. You can't do that crouch thing and then poof, explode forward head first. You can't do that. They're going to assess 15-yard penalties for that. And, I mean, people already on Twitter today were all posting examples of just what seemed like routine football plays in the past, which will now be penalized. They say the Ryan Shazier play, where he injured himself severely against the Bengals in a Monday night game this past season, was an example of what they're trying to eliminate. And Shazier on that play did exactly that. He lowered his body and then exploded forward. You know, you get in the athletic position, you crouch down. You all know what the athletic position is, right? Knees slightly bent, shoulders above the middle of your foot or the balls of your feet. Weight on the balls of your feet, ready to move in any direction, ready to explode. And that's the thing. I mean, that's a natural, that's called the athletic position because you get in that position to do lots of athletic things. You get in that position to play defense in basketball. You get in that position when you're getting ready to make a tackle. You get in that position when you're a goaltender in soccer. I mean, it's the athletic position. It's what you would do if you were backed into a corner by a lion or a snake or something like that. You would get in the athletic position. Yeah. So they don't want you then coming out of that, crouching down, and then boom, leading with the head. Now, here's the thing. Where's your head? It's on the front of your body. I mean, when you get in the athletic position, your head is the first thing there. So it's tough. And you, a lot of players today already have been tweeting, oh my God, these people have no idea how football goes. This is going to be a huge problem. You can't legislate this type of thing out of the game. On and on and on and on and on. And they're partially true. They're partially right when they say that, but here's what I like about the rule. Helmet hits are bad. We know this. Like, this isn't up for dispute anymore. We know all about, I'm not going to get into the whole thing about CTE and concussions and all that. I mean, that's been done to death, and with good reason. It can't be overdone. It needs to be talked about as much as possible. Those hits are bad. It's not just the big hits. It's not just the hits you see on TV or on highlight videos or on Jacked Up like they used to do on NFL primetime. Every little down, just, again, when you go in for a tackle, and boom, you can't see me, I know, but, you know, you lean forward, you put your shoulders and helmet forward first. Every single little one is bad for you. Like, it's bad for your head, and they add up. And it's not a big deal if you played high school football for a couple years or something like that, or what have you, but if you play college football for years and then NFL for years, and you play 5, 10, 15 years of this stuff, yes, it's a bad thing and it matters. And for the people saying, well, what else are they supposed to do? And you'll see where I'm going with this, but I would point you toward rugby. And rugby's not perfect. They have head injuries in rugby too. They have concussions in rugby too, okay? I'm not saying that it's perfect, but people that act like there's no other way to do it, they want guys, basically, what they're trying to do with these rules is to play the game as if they don't have helmets on. They're keeping the helmets on, but they want to play the game. They want them to play the game as if they don't have the helmets. And I personally don't know if you can do that without actually taking away the helmets. And that's a really radical thing. And I'm not saying that's where football's going to go anytime soon. Maybe one day. But if you really, really want to stop this whole thing, and not stop it because you'll never stop it, but really diminish the impacts of all this bad stuff, that's what you have to convince these players of. Because they might say, oh, there's no other way to hit them. Your head's right there. Well, maybe it is, but in rugby, they don't do it. They get in the athletic position. They explode out of it. Their head is in the front of their body too, but they still don't actually pop them with their head because they don't have helmets on. And I maintain, and I've never played in the NFL or in college, I've played high school football. I play, even as of right now, I play semi-pro football at age 37. I've played a lot of football, not high-level football by any means, but I've played plenty of football in my life. And I do think the pads, the shoulder pads and the helmets, honestly, do more damage to people than they do protect them. I mean, to me, there is no doubt in my mind that's the case. And that doesn't mean nobody would get hurt without pads. There'd be different types of injuries for sure, but anybody who's ever played football, and if you're listening out there right now, and even if you played just in high school, or just think back to if you've ever played, think about how heavy that helmet is, that hard plastic, that metal face mask, those pads. I mean, you got 22 guys out there. You're introducing literally thousands of pounds. I mean, not on the field at one time, the whole team, but if you have 55 guys, just 22 on the field, let's say. You've got literally hundreds of pounds. I have to do the math, actually. 22, how many pounds does all that stuff weigh? It probably weighs 10 feet. Yeah, okay, you know, thousands of pounds of stuff, of hard metal, hard plastic stuff, onto the field. Think about if you lighten the load. Think about if you took all that stuff off the field. Think about if guys didn't have that thing on their head when they're going to make a tackle. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And what's happening here, and it's happening slowly, but and you can argue about how they're doing it, but that it's happening is a good thing. We need to fundamentally our idea of what football is. If you love the game as much as I do, and I love football, and you want to see it around, and you want to be able to not just see it around, but be happy about it, be cool with it, not have things in the back of your mind when you're watching it bothering you, thinking, I mean, every time in the past few years I watch a game, and it hasn't stopped me, so I'm not claiming that it stopped me, but every time I've watched a game in the past few years, every time a guy just makes a tackle, not even the big hits, like I said, just a tackle, and I see that head jar just a little bit. That's CTE. Those add up. No one of those will give you CTE. No five or six of them will even give you CTE. But dozens upon hundreds of them over a career does. Or can, at least. It varies player by player. Some guys have the Homer Simpson thing going. They can beat their head forever and nothing happens. Others don't. We don't, and you don't know who it is until, you know, and they're working on that part, too, to figure out if we can tell who is who has the markers and who doesn't. But the point is, like, football has been about hitting for so long, and I think ideally football wouldn't have hitting, it would have tackling. And again, that's a fundamental, I mean, people talk about tackling and open field tackling and all great form tackle. You see that every once in a while, but mostly what football is collisions, hitting. And it's always going to be partly like that. Again, I'm not stupid, okay? I know what football's about. But the less hitting there is and the more tackling there is, the better. That's how I play the game when I play it. Now, I'm not very good, and most football coaches, serious football coaches, would chase my ass off the field if they saw me play how I play, because it's probably not aggressive enough for their liking. But, I mean, like when I'm playing safety in a semi-pro game, and I'm just, again, some slow old 37-year-old guy who probably has no business being out there, but you know, I'm a drag-down tackler. I go to the guy, try to wrap him up, drag him down. I almost never lay a lick on someone. And that's, like, blasphemy to say that out loud for a real football player. Like, you'd never hear a real football player say, yeah, I'm not looking to make a bit. I'm not a hitter. I don't want to hit anybody. I just want to get him on the ground somehow. That's how I play. But no real football player could say that. No chance. You'd be laughed out of the room. You'd be gone. What amazes me the most about the NFL, and about big-time college football, when you look at the, it's not even the athleticism that's so much higher than everybody else's, and it is. It's not even the speed of the game everybody talks about, which is so much faster, and it is. It's not the level of skill, these amazing things that you see quarterbacks do, or you see receivers dragging their toe like ballet dancers and making these unbelievable those are all amazing, but that's not even what it is. The amazing thing to me when I watch these games is the absolute reckless abandon these guys play with. And I think it's just desperation, because if you don't play that way, you're gone, and someone else will be put in your spot. And every single hit, every single tackle, if you stay on the sideline of a high school game or one of our, again, half-assed semi-pro games, and stand right down, looking down the line of scrimmage, just like the side judge would do. Quarterback will go, hut, hut! And there'll be like a gradual meshing of the bodies on the offensive and defensive lines, and it's kind of like a slow collision, kind of a mixing, intertwining. If you stay on the sidelines of a pro football game or a big-time Division I college football game, every single snap, when that happens, hut, hut! It's like a starter's pistol going off. Bam! Like, both sides just shoot out of a cannon at each other. Offensive and defensive lines. That's the difference. That, to me, of all the differences, and there's a million differences as you go up the levels of football, but that, to me, is the biggest one. Because even if I had that athletic ability, which I don't, I couldn't hit that way. It's not in me. And there's probably a lot of guys who have it in them to be really good football players who actually do have that ability who didn't hit that way either. And somewhere along the way, whether it was high school or college or whatever, before they ever got that far, they never did get that far because they just didn't have it in them. Football is as much about a willingness to do things out there as it is an ability to do things out there. I really believe that. And the guys that are at the highest levels, and you all remember watching like John Lynch, like at safety, I would never do, even if I could, even if I had every ounce of his skill, I would never be able to hit somebody the way he used to hit people. I mean, my God, and he's fine right now. I mean, I'm not saying anything wrong with John Lynch, but I'm saying I just wouldn't do it. I'd be scared to do it. And these guys aren't. And that goes forever. Again, not just the big guys up front. I'm talking about linebackers, safeties, receivers throwing blocks, everybody. These guys just absolutely have no fear out there. They wouldn't have made it as far as they did if they did. But that's my point. You're not going to convince them, hey, back it off a little bit. I want you to play hard still, but just don't, you know, don't use your head. Just slow down. You know, you can't just tell them that. You have to legislate these things out of the game. And it doesn't mean you have to play any slower, but yeah. You might have to use a slightly less efficient way to get somebody to the ground from now on in exchange for sparing your brain, which I think is a fair exchange. And again, you can't tell the guys to do it. You have to protect them from themselves and make rules about it. So I get that. And I don't like it either when I'm watching a college game and they call targeting on somebody and the guy... My problem with the targeting call in college... I'm not saying the hits are good. They should make rules against the hits, but I don't like when they eject guys. You should be doing something dirty to be ejected. And sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, he hit him in the helmet, but he really wasn't trying to. They should at least have some sort of leeway. And right now the NFL's not going as far as the college rule as far as disqualifying guys from games, so that's good. But still, I can already tell you, we're going to get annoyed. There's going to be times this coming year when we're like, oh my God, that's just a regular football play. I can't believe it. We just got a big third down stop, and because his helmet grazed his helmet, now they got a first down anyway. This is pro wrestling. This is staged. It doesn't even feel like they're letting the players decide it, blah, blah, blah. We'll say all that stuff, okay? It's going to happen. I'll say it. But, again... Unless you're going to take the helmets and pads off these guys, which I don't think is a bad idea, but I also acknowledge is extremely radical and don't believe will happen anytime soon. Unless you're going to do that, you have to legislate this stuff out of the game. You're not supposed... I mean, like, really, the one thing I would tell an NFL player, I'd tell this to a peewee Pop Warner kid, high school kid, college kid, is pretend you don't have a helmet on. I mean, I know it's hard to say because you do... But just really play the game as if you're not wearing any pads, just like you're a rugby player. You have the pads. The pads are supposed to be there to help when it gets rough, but don't use them to make football plays. Just wear them to protect you during those football plays. That's and I'm not trying to put words in these competition committees' mouth, but to me that feels like what they're trying to do, and I 100% endorse that. Because, again, I just play the game for fun, for no money. I pay money to play it. Not only do I pay money to play it, I have high deductible insurance. I could break something out there, and I'm out a few $1,000s, and I play it anyway because I freaking love football, and it's fun. But, you know, I wouldn't hit someone like that. I have that luxury, so I'm not playing for a living. I'm not trying to feed my family or anything like that doing this. My career's not on the line. It's just recreational. The guys out there, they don't have an excuse until now because it's against the rules now. And so, again, it's not going to be fun for a little bit. It's going to be annoying when there's calls this way and that way that we don't like. But ideally, football would be less about hitting, more about tackling, and all players playing as if they're not wearing a helmet, even though they are. And listen... These guys now aren't the one. These are the guinea pigs. It's tough for the guys who are already in the league. But you make a rule like this, not for this year or for next year. You make it for 5-10 years down the road. Now everybody starting at the lowest levels of football is going to start playing this way. And in 20 years, it'll be considered, oh yeah, no way you'd ever hit someone with your head. Like, no one would do that. It's a generational thing. It's an evolutionary thing. It takes time. So yeah, you just go from normal to this new rule in one season. And those first few seasons are going to be weird. I mean, I acknowledge that. I don't think it'll affect our overall enjoyment of the game that much. We'll get annoyed at some things, but I mean, I don't think any of us are going to throw our hands up and give up on football because of this rule.
But again, 5 years from now, when this rule's been in place for 5 years and everyone knows about it, everyone's used to it, going down again from high school to college all the way to pro, and it's just commonplace accepted, I think that'll be a good thing for football. You have to do what you can. You have to do what you can. At the end of the day, these are games. This is entertainment. Like, that's one of the things I've learned growing up. Because when I was a kid, I thought the fate of the world rode on this stuff. And it doesn't. Like, it's entertainment. And ideally, the people that are providing the entertainment, the entertainers, can go out there and do it. And everybody, you know, picks themselves up at the end of the game, shakes hands, brushes themselves off, nobody gets hurt, and everybody goes home happy in the stands and on the field. You know, it's one thing, and I'm not saying it's a good thing in any case, but it's one thing, like, you go to war or something, you come home, and you've got, there's all kinds of things that they could have, and they're tragic, but at least they came for a cause. You know, this is just a game, it's entertainment, it's not, like, people aren't, and same thing with baseball, like, they got rid of guys mowing down the catcher at home plate. I'm good. Like, what? Do we really need that? Do we really need a guy, and I'm not even talking about any one play, like, I know the Buster Posey thing was the impetus for that one. I remember Sean Rodriguez doing it to somebody in the playoffs for the Rays. I think it was a Rays-Red Sox playoff series. It might have been the Rangers, I can't remember, but he came home on a play at the plate, and he absolutely leveled a catcher. I can't remember who it is. Rays fans may remember that. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, and the ball came out. He was, or actually, I think the guy held onto the ball and he was out. But he absolutely freaking leveled a guy. I was, like, really impressed. I was actually like, wow, Sean Rodriguez could play football. But then I was like, is that cool? Like, that's not cool. Like, why should that even have to happen? Like, get that stuff out of the game. Same with hockey, fighting. People are like, oh, you got to have fighting, you know, it's part of the game. Self-police. No, you don't. You really honestly don't. Most hockey fights suck anyway. Guys keep their helmets on. I mean, imagine hitting someone with a helmet and a face shield and you're just banging against this plastic. It's the dumbest idea ever. And it's just a way to dumb down the game, slow down the game, keep players in the game that maybe aren't as good at the things we like to watch as they are with fighting. And, I just don't see the point anymore. I mean, all sports should be working on ways to keep people as safe as possible while they play it. And that doesn't mean, you know, don't give me, there's always these Twitter tough guys or these people who call into talk shows the next day. The tough guy, they just put skirts on them and flags. It's flag football. You know what? I'm sure some of the people that say that stuff did play football themselves, but a lot of them didn't. There's a lot of people that never played a damn down of football that'll be like, oh God, it's flag football now. Hey, you put some pads on and send your ass over the middle with your head turned trying to catch a ball while somebody else who has no worry about the ball can just tee off on you. You know, you don't know what the hell. And there's no, it's a bad thing. Like, it's a bad thing. I like big hits as much as anybody, but I don't like them as much as I used to. I used to just like everybody else. I used to jump out of my chair. Oh, yeah! And now I kind of, no matter which team it is, even if it's the Bucks doing it to some other team, I always kind of go, oh, I hope he's all right. You know, I just think about it like, man, he's just playing a game. Like, everybody should be able to go home happy after this. I don't like the idea of anybody going home. I mean, it's Shazier. I mean, they haven't given a ton of updates with him, but he's been getting better. But, I mean, is that worth it? Like, is that worth it? To have that happen to you? I mean, absolutely not. Like, in a million years, it's not worth it. So I think we need to just reevaluate how we look at football and our fundamental view of how the game is played. And that's not going to happen just in the 10 minutes it took from before we had this rule to now we have this rule. It's going to be seasons and seasons and seasons of this where 5, 10, 15 years from now, that's the norm and it's accepted. And I think in the long term it will help. Or at least I hope it does. So now, that's a good thing. Let's go to something. Well, let's go to one other good thing too. They've changed the catch rule again. This time they've simplified it. Basically, you make a football move, they're going to call it a catch. Now, I always thought the football move thing was really good. I never understood, you know, the past few years, like, oh yeah, football move's not part of the rule book anymore. And everyone would always be the first to shout that out whenever there was a controversial play. And I was always like, why not? Like, why? Football move's a great concept. If I ever have a thoroughbred that I run in the Kentucky Derby, I'm going to name it football move. It's the whole idea, oh yeah, like I never heard that term before. You know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, and then getting introduced to the rules of football, it made perfect sense. Yeah, he did a thing you would do if you were holding onto a ball and people were chasing you and trying to get away from them and advance and gain ground. That's a football move. It makes perfect sense. And so they've brought that back. So now, like, you know, what happened in that Patriots-Steelers game where the guy, it was Jesse James, you know, the guy reached the ball over the goal line. That's a football thing. That would be a touchdown now. I still think that we make too big of a deal out of the catch thing. I think most of the time you can look at a play without all the fancy wording and just say, oh, yeah, he caught it, or oh, yeah, he didn't. And I haven't had as big of a problem with some of the catch rulings as a lot of people have. I thought the Dez Bryant catch was not a catch. That one, I guess now, since he lunges the ball forward, would be. But I thought he just dropped the ball going to the ground on that one. In real time, I said, oh, no catch. You know, some other ones, obviously the Calvin Johnson one going way back was one that started this whole thing, and that seemed like a catch. Some of them have been wrong, but at least now they've just built it into the rule where if something looks like a common sense catch, you can at least just say, oh yeah, it's a catch, and you can lean on this football move portion of the rule to have it. So hopefully that makes some things better. Although I don't think, again, the catch thing was nearly as much of a problem as people made it out to be. So here's what is a problem. I'm gonna bitch a little bit here. This is my biggest issue here. They actually considered it, which I guess is a small victory, and at least maybe this is a sign that they'll consider it again one day. But pass interference in the NFL is considered to be a spot foul, as we all know. If you heave the ball 65 yards down the field and a guy gets a little handsy, or even if he doesn't, but there's some contact, and it's so ambiguous and gray and bang, bang, and the referee has to make a call. Well, you know what? Here's a 65-yard penalty. You can tackle a guy by grabbing his face mask and twisting his head around like a barn owl, snapping several vertebrae in his neck, and we'll give you 15 yards because that's unsportsmanlike. But this penalty, hey, here's a 70-yard penalty for just heaving the ball out there. It is the single, and I mean the single, stupidest rule in all of sports. Pass interference needs to be a 15-yard penalty, and you can have your automatic first down and all that, period. Number one, because it's so arbitrary. Number two, because the penalty can be up to 70 yards. And number three, because it just assumes the guy would have caught it. And I've never understood how anybody thinks it's a good idea to make spot foul the penalty for pass interference. And yet, here we went these past couple of weeks. First we heard rumors, and I almost got emotional. Like, I almost teared up. Because I beat this drum year after year after year. If you follow me on Twitter, every Saturday or Sunday, especially Sunday, every Sunday, there'll be something happening, some game. You know, Tom Brady will launch a ball downfield. It won't be anywhere near catchable, but they'll call pass interference because maybe in a 1% chance he could have caught it. So here, first and goal at the one. You were on your own 40 just now. We'll make it first and goal at the one here because then they kind of bumped into each other when that ball was in the air. So let's just give him 60 yards and just, you know, just get much now. Let's just hand out touchdowns like they're free candy. Every Sunday I'll tweet out, reminder, weekly reminder, worst rule in all of sports, spot foul for PI. So a couple weeks ago got word, oh my gosh, they're actually talking about, the Eagles proposed it, I believe. Let's look at 15 yards. Let's do it the way college and high school do it. Makes sense, you know, at least you're not going to catch them all, but sometimes you might have caught it, sometimes not. But this way, it's not as drastic, not as penal. The rule's completely, I don't want to say ambiguous, but it's a very hard thing to call. I actually have sympathy toward referees here. I mean, it's not an easy thing to call in real time, and yet there's so much riding on it on these longer pass plays. 15 yards seems fair. You're going to get a first down, 15 yards. You know, sometimes that's more than you would have gotten because the pass wouldn't have been caught anyway, but sometimes it's going to be less. It'll work itself out, even out in the end. Nope. Nope. They talked about it, but they did not do it. Now, I wasn't expecting them to go all the way and do it just yet, and I'm encouraged they talked about it. What really chapped my ass, though, is how many idiots, and I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't like to call people names that disagree with me normally, but the idiots I see on Twitter like Pro Football Talk tweeted this out. I tweeted about it. Joe tweeted about it. And you look at the responses, and maybe I'm just an idiot myself for actually caring what other people say and reading comments and responses to things on Twitter. That's probably my fault. But how many people celebrated like, oh man, I'm so glad. I can't believe they even thought about changing that rule. Can you imagine what would happen if they made it a 15-yard penalty? Wide receivers would be getting tackled, dude. Every time they beat a guy, they would tackle him. Let me say this right now. Don't be wide receiver would be getting tackled guy, okay? Because that is one of the single most idiotic takes. And you can tell the people, because some people love football, but some people just like the NFL. Like, they don't follow college, depending on where they're from or if they went to college or not. Or, you know, a lot of times people just don't have a tie to college football. And that college football is my favorite sport. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's my favorite sport. But some people, and you can tell, because they actually think that if you make 15 yards of the penalty for pass interference, that now a DB will get beat and he'll say, oh, I might as well just tackle the guy because 15 yards is better than the big pass play they're going to hit if I just let him go. Like, literally, if you watch college football even for a little while, you would know that college football has zero issue with that happening. Like, how often do you watch a college football game and see a guy intentionally commit pass interference because he's beat? Like, maybe once in a blue moon. Maybe once in a blue, like, it's not like some epidemic, like, oh, in college, they really exploit the rule, and since they know it's only 15 yards, they're going to be extra aggressive if they're beaten, because they're going to try. If you think that, you are an idiot. Like, I'm going to say it, and again, I don't like to call people names that disagree with me, but if you think that, you are a moron, or you're just being disingenuous or intentionally ignorant, like, willfully ignorant. Because in no way, shape, or form does that happen. And if you've ever played football, you would know in the heat of the moment, first of all, you're talking about a split second to decide something. You don't get beat and think, oh, I gotta tackle him. You're just trying to get back in the play. You're doing whatever you can. You don't want a penalty called. Like, penalties are bad. Players instinctively, from the time you start playing, whether it's in high school or even younger, like, you instinctively try to avoid penalties. Penalties are bad. Your team gets penalized. Your coach yells at you. All right? Guys aren't going to intentionally tackle somebody just because they have a 15-yard penalty for pass interference. Like, that in no way, shape, or form is an issue at all. And it's the single dumbest response. And some people, again, that I saw acted like they couldn't even believe that they would consider that. They were like, oh, man, can you believe that? How stupid do you have to be to think 15 yards is an appropriate penalty for pass interference? They would just be getting tackled all over the place, man. they'd put little GIFs up there on their Twitter feed, like, duh. Screw, hey, listen, screw you. I'm going to say it right now. This is probably my most controversial take so far on the free stretch. If you think pass interference should be a spot foul and you actually feel strongly about that, screw you. You're a moron. I am not any of all the things I get upset about. I don't know why. Maybe it's just irrationally, but I'm irrationally passionate about this issue. Or to the point where, like, I let other people get to me. Like, you're not supposed to ever let other people get to you. People are going to agree and disagree. People are always going to be out there that believe in things that you hate. You just roll your eyes, move on, whatever. And I do that most of the time, but I just freak out and have, like, a panic attack whenever I hear anybody actually make a case for spot foul for PI. Like, it's that bad of a rule. And I have issues in my own life I guess I have to address because I can't handle it. So anyway, we have to put up with that for at least another season, probably more. Even Pro Football Talk. Florio, who I like Pro Football Talk, he was like, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to look at this rule right now. It's best just left alone. No, it's not. It's an idiotic premise that I can launch a ball that has a third of a chance of being caught, like a 30% chance of being caught anyway. And two guys go up for it and they bump or something like that, which, again, how in the hell do you even call this stuff? Referees deserve credit for being able to call it. And they're just going to give them all the yardage, like all of it. Like, hey, let's just move the ball up 65 yards. Go ahead. Like, if you went last Boy Scout and pulled out a weapon on the field, like shot somebody, it'd be 15 yards. Like, that's the penalty for that. It's a 15-yard penalty. That's the biggest penalty we have in football, except sometimes we, like, literally quadruple that for just random launch balls downfield that are practically Hail Marys. Then we'll quadruple the penalty we have in all of sports for this one thing Because, yeah, the guy might have caught it. We don't know. He got bumped a little bit. Their legs tangled. We thought it might not have been incidental, so we threw a flag. And now instead of having 3rd and 8 from their own 30, now it's 1st and 10 from the 15-yard line. Oh, hey, that happened in the end zone? Hey, here's 1st and goal from the 1, which is like a 1,000% conversion rate on it. I think the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, the only team to not score on that against the Patriots. But, like, literally just handing out touchdowns. Like, when I'm watching a hard-fought game and they're going back and forth and it's just a great game, and then something like that happens, it just completely devalues everything I've been watching. So you may feel differently, and I understand that. And a lot of times I'll say, hey, my opinion is my opinion. Yours is wrong, but it's still a valid opinion. I'll say that a lot. Yours isn't even a valid opinion if you think this rule should be kept. The competition committee? Idiots. Those guys on Twitter? Idiots. And you? If you think it should be a spot foul, idiot. All idiots. Worst rule in all of sports. So with all that said, oh, the other thing is the touchback thing going to the 25, that's permanent. Those are the big rule changes. There's some other stuff that might be tweaked. We're still a couple weeks out from uni revelations of the Titans and the Jags, which I'm excited about because I care about all 32 teams' uniforms, not just the Bucks. And I'm hoping one day, I think the pendulum is swinging a little bit. We'll have to wait and see the Jags and the Titans and what they came up with. But I think we're going down a road where maybe the pendulum is swinging back toward good taste. And I'm hoping the Bucks could be next. And I still, I mean, even if they do fix it, I'll never, ever forgive the Glazers for making the Bucks uniforms look like what they look like. But that's some uni news. Oh, and oh, the Browns. I forgot the Browns. Here's the Browns. I'll talk more about this next week. The Browns were such idiots that they thought they should change uniforms to begin with to what they... I mean, you saw what they wear now. I mean, anybody who thinks that's better than what they had is a moron as well. I'll go ahead and say that. But they're such idiots that they did it. I actually have less respect for them, not more because of this. They did it, and then literally that same year, they were like, oh, man, this sucks. We shouldn't have done this. And they've been trying to change it back ever since, but they couldn't because of the 5-year rule. In the NFL, where you can't change unis more than once every 5 years, which is a good rule, by the way. But that's how dumb they are. Like, anybody, any one of us normals could have looked at that uniform literally in mock-up and said, oh, no, you can't write, like, Browns in huge letters down the side of your pant. Yeah, like, you can't do that. You know, like that would have been rejected out of hand immediately by any normal, non-half-witted person. And these idiots, like, green-lighted that. And some of the other thing, so they immediately regretted it because they're dumb. They're the Browns. But it looks like the league's going to soften its stance a little bit, and this is great news. They're going to let them take the ugly, I mean, never put words on pants. Like, never. This goes not just for football, but in general. Don't have words printed vertically down the side of your pants. That's a bad policy in football. It's a bad policy. Pants should be a solid color, maybe some stripe. You don't have a stripe down the side, fine. That's it. Like, don't put words on your pants. College has been having this epidemic, too. They try to write things on the pants. Don't do that. Like, words do not belong on pants. So, the league might let them just go back to normal pants with a normal stripe. That alone, if they did nothing else, would be a huge upgrade. Although the Browns really, truly, like, look fantastic up until this most recent change. So, more on that next week. We'll talk about the Jags and the Titans, too. I've been ranting all show today. It's just one of those shows I had a lot to get off my chest. I want to thank all of you who are still around for putting up with it. Look, I got mad there. I don't really think you're a bad person. If you think pass interference should be a spot foul, we could probably still be friends. I probably have friends who think that, and it's just like politics. The reason that we're probably friends is because we don't get into this stuff. Because if one of my friends said that, it would, you know, alter our relationship. And I'm sure it's the same with you and me. I don't have anything against you personally out there, listener. I just, you know, I get passionate about stuff. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Twitter @BobbyGameDay. We'll talk more about the Bucks. The draft's getting closer. We got a few more shows till the draft. Of course, the whole defensive front's been remade. We talked about that last week. I'm excited. You're excited. We're all excited. So in the meantime, let's take a deep breath. Hey, opening day in baseball's this week. We got that for a little while. They only have, and I love baseball, but they have like 840 games to go after opening day. So, real sense of urgency there. In the meantime, that is the Free Stretch. I'm Bobby Fenton. Thank you for listening. Wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.